Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, and welcome to our monthly managed care call for October 2023. We're joined this morning by the team from Iowa Total Care. We'll kick off this first call by running through some informational letters. There really hasn't been a lot of activity on the informational letter front over the last couple weeks or since our last call. But I'll just quickly mention some of those. So the first one that I wanted to talk about is informational letter 2503. This is the 2023 annual provider training IL. It lists registration opportunities for both in-person and virtual training sessions. They actually started on Monday, the 9th. But they have them, it looks like at least twice a week for the rest of the month here. It's a very detailed info letter. I'd encourage you to look at that letter to see whether a virtual or an in-person option works for you. They have several different sites throughout the state as well that they're hosting in-person opportunities for that. So, info letter 2503. 2023's annual provider training is out there right now. And then the last one is one that I'll just briefly mention. It's info letter 2510. And this is reimbursement for pharmacy point of care testing, influenza, and Streptococcus A. And it's just a notification about legislation that was passed in 2020 through 2022. About this, I haven't gone into a lot of detail, but it does mention that it is for all Iowa Medicaid providers. And so if you are participating in that, it would be worth a look for you. IL 2510, reimbursement for pharmacy point of care testing, could be an option for you to take a peek at. So, with that, those are really all the informational letters that have come out since over the last month here. I'll pause and see, Jeannie, if you guys or anyone on your team has any updates before we run into some questions.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Brandon. Wanted to let everyone know that Iowa Total Care held our first provider summit in the Ottumwa area in September. We had various topics that were discussed encompassing all different provider types. In 2024, we will be holding approximately four provider summits across the state throughout the year. So that we found this to be very helpful and positive for providers to come and see who we are, meet with the individual areas that we had representative, which was pretty much anyone that you would touch. We had our claims, our PR department, UM. We had other various vendors as well there that we work with. Also, ITC held a four Go Green events in 2023 in Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Sioux City, and Corning. We had partnered with Hy-Vee in providing communities free fruit, vegetables, various hygiene products, and asked other local partners to attend. It was very successful as well. And we plan on doing eight Go Green events in 2024 locations yet to be determined. So please check out our website to share with our members that information. Also, I wanted to remind you of our main webpage and the access to online provider opportunities. Lots of information out there, whether that's new or old individuals that have been with your organization. Under the main tab for a provider, then you go to provider training and webinars. We offer many subjects of interest. So if you need assistance in registering for any of these training opportunities, please do reach out to your provider relations specialist. And as Brandon mentioned earlier, we are participating in the annual current Iowa Medicaid state training. So we hope to see you virtually or in person. So we have a virtual one this afternoon from 1 to 5. And then I also have Katie Hannigan with me. Katie, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me, Jeannie?
Yes, I can. So Katie is a manager with our long-term services and supports case management, and she would like to give you a few little updates from her perspective. Katie.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to be here today. We were trying to think of a way to to just kind of get out some information about our information about the Rollins Company, which handles our third party liability issues. So I don't know if many of you maybe are, you're might be getting letters in the mail for a resident, one of our members, and they could be a little deceiving. It almost could look like a spam type of mail or junk mail, whatever you want to call that. But they're actually issued from a company called the Rollins Company. And I will, Brandon, if it's okay with you, I could kind of email over this contact information so you could have that to send out to the Iowa Healthcare Association members, so you all have this. But if your member or your resident might get a letter from the Rollins Company. And so if an Iowa Total Care member, if you get one of these letters in regards to sanctions, you might see sanctions or you might see the Rollins Company. Just kind of remember that these actually are important. This isn't junk mail. If you even are thinking now, oh my gosh, I maybe got some last week. I threw those away. If you don't have the letter, you lose the letter. Maybe the family has a letter at home and they call you about it. This is okay. You can still contact the Rollins Company to resolve any sanctions issues. So I have some contact information and I'll send that over to Brandon, but they have a phone number. And if you happen to get the letter and maybe the inserts or the forms with it, they have a fax number where you can send that back to, or an email that you can send them the information back to. So we just have seen an increase in the number of letters going out regarding sanctions. So this results in that member is going to have a hold on their Medicaid. So they could lose their Medicaid eligibility if they don't respond to the sanction letter. Those sanctions sometimes occur, you know, like if your member, maybe your resident has a slip or a fall, something that could be related to that third party liability. So they might get asked some questions like, were you hurt in an auto accident? Were you hurt at work? Did you slip and fall on someone's property? There just might be some of those basic third party liability questions that we need you to respond to. So if you get those or one of your residents gets those, we would appreciate your assistance to get the questions answered and get those submitted back to the Rollins Company. And if you have any questions, you're not sure, could someone take a look at this? Is this junk mail or is this something I need to respond to? Please do not hesitate to call us at Iowa Total Care or to call your Iowa Total Care case manager.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie. Yeah, we would take that information like you'd suggested, and we can share that with members if they have any questions on it. So,
perfect. Thank you, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will go into the one pre-submitted question. Actually, might have two, but one that I'd submitted ahead of time, and it was in regards to home health. And I've gotten this from a member saying that historically we were able to bill Iowa Medicaid for $15 or up to $15 a month for routine supplies for home health patients. The question is whether or not this is still an allowable bill that can be submitted to the MCOs like it was with Iowa Medicaid.
Michelle, do you have a line of sight to that?
Okay, sorry. I thought I hit unmute first. Hi, it's Michelle with Iowa Total Care. You guys are not able to bill us those routine extra $15 a month. It is not covered with Iowa Total Care.
Why?
I don't know if it was previously covered by Iowa Medicaid, but it's not covered by Iowa Total Care.
And that was going to be my question do we know, I guess, why there would be a change or if what caused the
have
change,
they
I
been,
suppose. Yeah.
I say, I guess I don't know what codes they're billing for that $15. If you want to reach out to your provider relations rep and let them know what you generally bill, we can research into it more. But as far as I know, it's not a covered service with Iowa Total Care.
Okay. We will get some further information as far as specific codes and I don't have that in front of me immediately, but we'll get that over to the team to see if that is something that is allowed. I believe that there were instances where certain criteria needed to be met for a provider to be able to bill that, and whether it was, a DME provider not being in the area or pharmacy provider not being in the area, something along those lines were a couple of the qualifiers on it, I believe. So.
Yeah, that would be some, yeah, if you can get that over, that'd be great. We can look into it more. So the next question I have is, they've not been billing that since we went live in 2019.
I would agree that it probably has not been billed for quite some time.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I was like,
Brandon,
I haven't seen anything like that. So.
It's Julie. I would agree it has not been billed. But once we get the code, I think we should go back to Iowa DHS first and verify with them, because I think that's going to be their call if the three MCOs.
Yeah,
we
do.
Accept it.
Yep, we do have that outstanding with them now.
Yeah.
Just wasn't sure if there was a line of sight on the MCO front already on it. So.
Yeah, and I've been in home care. I'm old, a long time, and they've billed it the entire time I've been in the industry. So.
Okay. Yeah, we will get over some additional details to ITC on that. And maybe where it's listed as a service in Iowa code, and see and make sure that we have an accurate representation of that.
Awesome, thank you.
Yep. Another one that I had that was submitted a little bit later, and I think that you've maybe already answered this in the chat, is on rates being uploaded by each MCO. And this is actually for a nursing facility, but I think it warrants a response. And I know that you've done it for both home health and nursing facilities in the chat, but I guess I'll start by saying for nursing facilities, rates are being released in batches. There was the first batch was probably mid-September, where I'm remembering around 120 going out. There was again another batch towards the end of September. And then again, likely around now, is when another one is going to be going out. So they're going out as the cost reports are being completed and the review is done by provider cost audit. And so you'll start to see those roll out intermittently as your cost reports are completed. To the question of hospice agencies expecting those rates, I have not seen like a 7/1/23 update to DHHS's website including those 7/1/23 rates, but the providers would be receiving those letters indicating what their rate is. But that is a good question as to whether or not the department plans to have a file out there that includes 7/1 rates as they're being released, so that way you all have somewhere to go to look at those rates. So that's a good question that I'll take back with the department. Again, ensuring that you are billing a usual and customary charge that exceeds or that has exceeded what your new Medicaid rate is going to be for 7/1. Is imperative if you would like to have the MCOs automatically reprocess those claims. If your rate is less, then you will need to submit a corrected claim to get paid at the new 7/1 amount. That would likely be that I believe is the case as well for home health, ensuring that you've billed at an amount above what the 7/1 rate is. And I know that's really only going to be an issue for a couple of the metropolitan areas, because most of those areas actually saw a decrease in rates. So it should not be an issue for most because you would have billed at an amount above what the new rate is. There are a couple areas, I do not remember them off the top of my head, that received an actual rate increase, effective 7/1. I can try to find them now. I believe the Omaha area and the Waterloo area were the two areas that had a LUPA rate increase effective 7/1. So those are providers that would need to either submit a corrected claim or ensure that your 7/1 billing since 7/1 was in ex excess of your new amounts. And I believe that's pretty much what you was being said in the chat as well. So I'll pause there and see if there's anyone from Iowa Total Care that would like to add to that or correct me on anything that I might maybe misstated.
Nope, you said it correctly.
Awesome. Thank you. So I will go to the chat. Looks like we have a few questions in there as well, and they've maybe been getting answered as we go, but is there a problem with the website in the claim dispute area, the first step to correct the claim? It's a question from Chris.
Not that we're aware of, Brandon. I would suggest we probably need a little bit more information. Usually, if we hear of an issue, we do submit a ticket. So reach out to your provider relations specialist. Maybe they can walk you through that, or it might be a problem that that we need to send in a ticket on. So please contact a provider relations specialist so we can have some more details.
Okay, thank you. This is a question for about online authorization submissions and how far back they can request an auth, and basically stating some reasons as to why it can take up to a couple of weeks to get things coded and a plan of care back to submit. And they've been having some issues because they're running out or past the time limit. And I think the question is, what is that limit?
That is an awesome question. I've actually done a phone a friend, so I am waiting for an answer on that. So if we don't have an answer by the end of the call, Brennan, I will send that response to you.
Perfect. Thank you. I see that I have a claim in paid status, but a payment wasn't actually issued. Payment code says global fee and claim project special handling. What does that mean? And I see Linda had responded there with a please reach out to your provider rep with your example and they can review and advise you. And I see you included the map in there as well. So, that is an interesting question about special handling. I haven't seen that one before, so I would be curious to know as well what that means. I'm going to go to the Home Health for Iowa EVV for skilled services. Does ITC have CareBridge set up, completed, and ready for early adopters to bill through integration? And I don't know if I saw Justin on or not, but.
Justin is traveling today, so no, I don't have an answer for that. But I know that if you were asked to participate in early testing, and so if that person, if you're asking that question, Sue, most likely you were not one of the ones that we have for early adopters. I would say that we're probably in the testing phase.
And I do know that there have been some providers who have billed who were early adopters,
Yeah, we do
because
have some exact evidence. So, yeah.
and there's been things that have been caught, not necessarily Iowa Total Care related, but just in general from early adopters, that is going to be able to help those who are waiting until 1/1. Which is the entire point of the early adopters, is to try to flesh out some of the issues that haven't been found yet until you can actually build live through it. So.
Right. And then Amanda, you're following up indicating you say you signed up to be an early adopter, but none of our members are showing up unless they were already in there for personal cares. So when you signed up for being an early adopter, I would reach out to the individual that you signed up with and work with them on that. Do you have that information? I'm not familiar with who that is, but if you do not have that information, we can certainly ask Justin.
Question about, is Iowa TotalCare aware of IME EVV determination to require the diagnosis code Z7689 on EVV visit submissions for dual eligible non-homebound members? Currently, Iowa TotalCare requires condition code XB for those dual members non-homebound, but this would not be able to be placed in EVV visit data on or after 1-1 of 24 through CareBridge. Is Iowa TotalCare prepared for this change? I assume that's probably a Justin question. I know that it's been something that's been discussed on all the EVV calls. And I do also know that there are some vendors who are having issues with transferring over more than one DX code to CareBridge. That's not all vendors, but I know that there's at least one that is having a struggle with this. So obviously that in their instance, the diagnosis code needs to be the primary, but they are working towards accepting additional diagnosis. That is not the answer to this question, obviously, because of the change to Z7689. But Jeannie, is that a question for Justin to clarify as well?
Yes, absolutely. We'll put together a couple of the questions. Tony, my partner in crime, is always my confidant because she has that talent where I do not, to put all these inf this information together. So hats off to my Tony again for assisting us on this call. We take the internal notes, and anytime that we need to get back to folks, we definitely do. So, and as luck would have it, Justin just he just got back online. So the answer to your question is yes, we are.
Justin's on. I didn't even see that.
Well, he's online
Oh, for
on
you,
the office,
for
but
your
I
IM.
did send the question out to him, and the answer came back, yes, exclamation point. So
So
yes, we are.
the DX Z7689, that's something Iowa TotalCare is prepared for, I think, is the
Yes,
answer to
sir.
that question. So
Yes, sir.
awesome.
Brandon, this is Terry
Yeah, Terry.
from Genesis VNA and Hospice. You had mentioned that there's an EMR that's not prepared to send more than one diagnosis.
I
Are
believe
you
that's
willing to
yours.
share? Okay, just I wanted to make sure we were on the list if that was not if it was not us.
It
So,
is
okay,
yours, Terry.
perfect.
And
Thank you.
if you wouldn't mind, Terry, I don't remember that EMR. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that in case there are other agencies out here that use the same system, that way they're at least aware.
Yeah, our EMR is Home Care Homebase.
So just, I guess, be aware if you are using Home Care Homebase, that there is a known issue that is being, I know that the department is definitely aware, and I know that the MCOs are too, of the challenges there, and they're working towards resolving those. So.
Yes, we have a weekly call with the state and Home Care Homebase to resolve it. Also, if any agencies are interested in pushing that on their end, there's a PRB out there as well as an enhancement request that you can go out and vote on, indicating that you are impacted by this as well.
Awesome. If anyone is using Home Care Homebase that would like to make some of that push, like Tony or like Terry had suggested, send that to me and I can route you, or at least get the information that you should be doing to help push that initiative along. And I can help facilitate that. So, flipping through the chat. One other issue I'm having is several claims being sent with the nursing facility NPI in the operator provider section, but they keep denying for missing facility NPI. I've sent the claim the same way all as all other cl paid claims. Is this a known issue, or should I reach out to my rep about these? I think definitely reach out to your rep, but it does It does seem like that happens from time to time where you can submit claims looking the exact same and with the information in a certain box for all of them, and it pays for 9 out of the 10. Not exactly sure why that happens sometimes, but I think it would be worth at least reaching out and making sure that you're not crazy. Do you know if CareBridge or Matrix Care integrated with EVV yet? I know they were working on it, but I've not heard if it has been completed yet. I do not know that. I don't know if that can, if Justin has that yet.
Trying to follow you on the chat. Where are you on the chat?
1052, it's the second to last one
Oh,
up
there it
there.
is. Do you know
Yeah.
CareBridge? Let me see if I can get a quick answer from Justin.
And that may need to be a follow-up later. So, Julie, we can get you some information on that.
Absolutely.
All right, and the last one I see, if we are a SNF in Northwest Iowa Region 1 and our provider rep is TBD, is there someone we can contact in the interim until someone is assigned?
Absolutely. If you notate the information that I put in previously to our provider relations map, it does say to please email our provider relations mailbox.
Awesome. Okay. I think we are through the questions submitted through the chat. Again, want to thank the team from Iowa Total Care for joining us this morning. And we will wrap up this call and jump on to our next one here at 11 o'clock. So thanks, Jeannie and team for joining us this morning.
All right. Thanks, Brendan. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.